Here's a quote from Dr. Mary Graber. Howard Zinn died in 2010, but his book, A People's History of the United States, lives on and carries the rhetoric of past decades of leftist politics forward with it. So writes Professor Dr. Mary Graber, author of the book Debunking Howard Zinn. We're going to talk about this right now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Graber, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me.
First of all, for those who are not familiar with it, explain exactly who Dr. Howard Zinn is and why should we care?
All right. Well, Howard Zinn was a history professor, a one-time member of the Communist Party. We're pretty sure of that. And a communist propagandist. He was born in 1922 and died in 2010. And as I said in that quotation, his legacy still lives on. And I don't think there is another book on American history that has sold as many copies as Howard Zinn's has. It has been in continuous publication since 1980 when it first came out. It's sold well over 3 million copies. It's a record breaker. It's used in classrooms. There's a young people's version. There are videos. There are, tributes to him. They're talking, I've read references that it's going to be, his 100th birthday coming up this month. So you called me at an opportune time, and all his acolytes are getting ready to honor the great propagandist.
Would you say there's a link between, let's say, the mobs in the streets tearing down statues of historical figures in American history, including Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and certainly Christopher Columbus? Is there a link between Howard Zinn's teaching and those actions?
Absolutely. You can even talk to, some of these people who are doing that. If they've read Howard Zinn's wildly popular book, and it does grab the imaginations of young people especially, they will get this very jaundiced picture of the founders, of Christopher Columbus. These people are presented as enslavers, as committing genocide, as being imperialist. Of course, it's all done through lies about American history. Very little of it is accurate. And so there's this false picture of, the people that we have justly honored, presents the opposite of that. And so we have generations of people who have grown up disillusioned with this country, thinking that there is something better off on the horizon. What they think is better is socialism.
When we see parents rising up, let's say, at some of these school board meetings, and they're speaking out against critical race theory and so forth, and we see, on the other hand, entrenched school boards that are sticking to their guns and saying, oh, no, we've got to teach America's true history. Are we seeing, on the part of those school boards, in effect, Howard Zinn's influence at work?
Because his view of American history, which has been in circulation now for over four decades, has become the dominant one. This is what most people think of when they think of how Christopher Columbus. They think of someone chopping off the hands of natives and, torturing them for gold. That's the picture that Howard Zinn has painted. And a lot of these people may not know better, and they automatically think that if you are in any way critical of Howard Zinn and his view of history, that you are a racist or a homophobe or any of those other slurs that they use to demonize their opponents. So, it's become dominant, and Howard Zinn, grabs the emotions of young people. They become engaged with it. They become emotionally engaged, not in a good way. But, that's one of the reasons why teachers like to use it, because it gets, kids involved in talking. So they are, you know, our culture has been saturated with this poison from Howard Zinn. But, you know, as I demonstrate in my book, I try to demonstrate in debunking Howard Zinn, you know, point by point, looking at his sources, looking at how he manipulates words and misquotes, leaves out critical information. This is completely false history. It's not factual.
Yeah, the first chapter of your book is Columbus Bad, Indians Good. And it's interesting when you think about the recent, you know, what happened until, frankly, until former President Trump said, okay, look, if you tear down a statue, there's going to be a big fine that you've got to pay. But before that, there were about 300 statues that were torn down. The number one target of statue toppling was Christopher Columbus, far and away. So my question for you is, was Christopher Columbus guilty of genocide? And does Howard Zinn say as much? And one thing that was amazing about your book is you show not only does he say all these wrong things about Christopher Columbus, but he even plagiarizes another leftist who said all these wrong things about about Columbus. And he certainly took many quotes from Columbus out of context.
He attacks them because you know, he presents this country as being illegitimate. That's what Howard Zinn says. That it's a pretense. That's the word he uses, that this country is a pretense. So how can someone discover a pretense? Or a way to delegitimize the country is to say that its discoverer was illegitimate. And so that's his attack on Columbus and this nation. But it's an old communist strategy. It was, you know, being done by Marx and Engels, and then it was being done by, you know, William Z. Foster and his history of, you know, the Americas. You know, William Z. Foster was the Communist Party USA chairman. So it's an old communist trope, but Howard Zinn revives it, and he does it in a style that's captivating, especially to young people. And so he promotes that old communist line about, you know, there being this kind of utopia here in the Americas, which was destroyed by this greedy capitalist named Christopher Columbus.
And it's not true.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, you talked about him plagiarizing it, and you know, I still remember the feeling of shock I had because, you know, I checked out some of Zinn's sources that he lists in the bibliography, and I'd read Zinn and was going through Christopher Columbus, and then I go through Hans Koning's book. That's his old buddy from his anti-Vietnam War group, and I was like, you know, I had the same feeling I had when I used to teach college, and, you know, I'd suspect a student of plagiarism, and I said, wait a minute, this sounds very familiar as I'm, you know, reading Hans Koning, and I go back to Howard Zinn, and sure enough,
wow,
you know, he did what, you know, any, you know, college freshman at the 11th hour might be doing, you know, doesn't have enough time to write the paper, so just copies it, switches around a few words. And, of course, Hans Koning book was completely made up, too. I mean, he's as far left as Howard Zinn. And Hans Koning, of course, wasn't even a historian. He was a fiction writer and a journalist. So you have one, you know, sort of idiot copying another and then, you know, foisting it onto the public as this original research, as he claimed. You know, he bragged that he had come across this through hours and hours and hours of reading Christopher Columbus.
Did Howard Zinn ever condemn Stalin? Did he ever condemn Mao? Mao, by the way, has the distinction of being probably the single worst mass murderer in the history of humanity. Does Howard Zinn say some bad things about him, or he just reserves that for Columbus and George Washington and so and Americans?
Yeah, he mostly reserves it for you know, the good guys. He does, you know, hint that Stalin, you know, made some mistakes. Yeah, there were mass murders. He downplays it a lot, But when he says that, he says, well, that's because he was an authoritarian and not because he was a communist. But like every other communist propagandist, Howard Zinn says, well, it just hasn't been done the right way. So we will now really implement Marxist principles, and we're really going to have a utopia now. And people believe him.
All right, I want to just summarize some of the points that are found in your book. So a lot of what I'm actually quoting is from you. But Howard Zinn often presented outrageous claims as questions as opposed to direct assertions. He basically held that America is essentially a racist criminal enterprise. You note that Zinn's propaganda has been spectacularly effective. Slavery, he held, was worse here than anywhere in world history. And one other point, the founding of the U.S. white slave owners were scheming to preserve the status quo. Oh, and the Allies in World War II really weren't any better than the Nazis. Oh, my goodness. I mean, is this true that Zinn would say these kind of things?
Yeah. I mean, I had to, spend torturous hours going through his book and I'm quoting, and he's basically, saying that. But, as you read from the first point I made, he does that through leading questions. He piles question on top of question. Sometimes he'll have four or five questions in a row. So, the idea that, we were the same as or worse than the Nazis, I mean, he knows that that's such a preposterous claim to make. So he just, loads up on the hints, and then he says, well, see what I've told you, and doesn't this mean that, we were very similar in doing this, for example, the Japanese internment camps. And so he, to the naive reader, he makes it seem like the reader is coming to that conclusion.
Oh.
And it's like, yeah, of course. and that's his trick. I mean, he's very, very devious and very clever in that way.
Yeah. Is there any kind of organized opposition to Howard Zinn? I mean, in your book, you point out that, for example, even some leftist historians say, look, this guy isn't writing, true, trustworthy history. Then you point out a conservative scholar from Harvard who called Howard Zinn's book basically a fairy tale with biased elections and falsified events. So my question, and we have about a minute left, but is there any kind of organized opposition to Howard Zinn beyond this fantastic book by you debunking Howard Zinn?
As far as I know, there isn't. There are alternative curriculums out there by Hillsdale and so forth. But what I would like to see is at least having my book that refutes his lies, be on the shelf in a school library or a public library. And that's why I wrote the book, because I'd been teaching since the mid-1990s, and I hadn't seen anyone, just sort of taking this head on and providing a resource. And that's what propelled me to want to write this book, to offer a resource so that, the poor student who's, only a teenager or something, it reads this and he says, well, is this true? How can I find out? I want them to be able to pick up a book and say, no, and here is why, here's the evidence.
Wow. I'm reminded of the old truism that a lie travels halfway around the world while truth is still putting on its boots. And I think the subtitle of your book says it all, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America. We're basically out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. MaryGraber.com for more information. Graber is spelled G-R-A-B-A-R. Thank you, Dr. Graber. All the best.
Thank you.